薄いのアホ。
プリズムタワーメイクアップカードレ
ディー。 Welcome to Shoujo and Tell, where we discuss shoujo manga and tell who's hot and who's not, talk about themes, and just generally geek out. Today, March 19th, 2023, we'll be shoujo and telling about the second half of the series Sailor Moon by Naoko Takeuchi. I'm your host, Ashley McDonald, and I'm joined once again by Anne LaRose. Hello, Anne.
Hello, Ashley. It's so nice to be here today.
I know, even though I tortured you for 50 minutes trying to get this audio to work.
But we persisted, so we didn't give up.
Yeah, because Sailor Moon's very important, and Sailor Moon wouldn't give up either, right?
Exactly. Precisely.
Okay, Anne, for people who may not have wanted to listen to the first half of our first episode, who are you?
So several years ago, I started a blog called shoujopower.com, where I talked about Sailor Moon and feminism. So that's how usually people on the internet know me. And I'm just, you know, a longtime Sailor Moon fan since watching it since 1995. And then when it went off the air, like, I was so, like, depressed about it, you know. But luckily at that time, the manga started publishing in the United States. So I just became a huge fan of the manga, too.
Yes, and now we're here, and I am the opposite of that. I'm like, this is my maiden voyage through Sailor Moon. What's up? I've never seen this before. Here I am. Woo! Okay, so again, this is about the second half of Sailor Moon, so I have to give the immediate spoiler warning. If you have not gotten so far in Sailor Moon, then maybe you don't want to listen to this. I don't know, but also, you probably know all the things, because it's Sailor Moon. It's like the most ubiquitous shoujo property ever. I don't know. But we do have a more spoiler-free discussion in our first episode, so if you want to go listen to that. And so Sailor Moon, the manga, is available from Kodansha Comics in like 50 million different editions, and there's an old one from Tokyo Pop. So this is going to be roughly volumes 10 through 18 of those old Tokyo Pop editions. 7 through 12, it's definitely 7 through 12 of the reprint from 2012, and I guess it's roughly volumes 6 through 10 of the Eternal Edition / the Takeuchi Collection. Cool. Yeah. Too many editions. concretely, the arcs that we're covering are, we started the Infinity Arc last time, but so we're finishing it this time. So that's the arc where the Death Busters are like trying to destroy the world, the galaxy, one of those things. I think it was just the world. We're introduced to sailors Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn, and Pluto also returns, and Sailor Saturn also destroys the world if she awakens, and she does, but she doesn't destroy the world. Isn't that fun? What all the plot twists in there? Then we cover all of the dream arc where the Dead Moon Circus comes to town, and I was immediately like, oh no, a circus. I'm scared just immediately.
Yes, exactly.
So that's where all your dreams turn into nightmares, and we get to spend time with many of the Sailor Guardians, especially the first four who have been overshadowed by these later four, talking about their hopes and dreams. And I mean, the Outer Guardians also form their own little queer family, living their best life, truly. Of course, we disband the Dead Moon Circus. Then the final arc is the Stars arc, where we get a boy band that's really a girl group, and they're really Sailor Guardians, and then they kind of die. It was all very confusing. I got
all
really
my friends
lost.
Are dead. Yeah. Like, actually, it's okay. A lot of people kind of get lost in the last arc, so we'll go over it.
Okay, yeah, we're going to get there, because I was just like, what is happening? There are so many characters now. Chaos is here, and that is true. It's just all chaos. And I guess it kind of ended happily? Question mark, question mark, question mark. I don't know. We're going to get into it.
Right.
I'm not sure. But first, we're going to go back to the Infinity arc, which, I'm going to hot take, I think, was the best arc, maybe? Yeah, I'm going to say
yes,
that.
Yes, no, yep, you are absolutely right. Everybody feels that this is the best arc.
Okay, I didn't know if that was, like, going to be a popular opinion or not.
It is.
Okay, I'm glad we all are correct. That's I get out of this. I just really thought all the outer guardians are really cool.
Yes.
I know last time I talked a lot about my dislike of superheroes and all of those tropes, but I think I really liked Sailor Saturn being like, I am the one who brings about destruction and rebirth as a part of the good side, right? Because I was like, that's right. Normally totally what motivates bad, like what makes bad guys bad is that they're like, this world sucks and mm-hmm. we need to destroy it and then rebuild anew, which I'm like, see, we all have that sentiment. It's not necessarily a wrong sentiment. But then all the good guys are like, no, you can't just condemn, you know, however right. billion people live in the world now to death. So we can't do that. And then I was like, yo, the good guys get that power? And they're like, it's okay, because we're going to be reborn. I was like, yeah, I love it. That's awesome.
Like, you know, what I try to explain to people is like Sailor Saturn is like literally a weapon of mass destruction, right?
Yeah.
And you can be a good guy or a bad guy to have that power, right? And it just, and the ultimate problem with it is that if you unleash it, it's just going to cause problems for everybody, you know? So.
Well, that's the central superhero problem.
It was really funny. I brought my brothers, who don't really know anything about Sailor Moon, to one of the musicals when we were in Japan. And, like, you know, it was the Infinity Arc. And, you know, halfway through the musical, there was a break, an intermission. And both of them were like, we don't get the deal with Sailor Saturn. And I was like, so I had to explain it to them. What? And I was like, so here's your dilemma. Are you pro Outer Guardians, who wants to kill Hotoru, or are you pro inner guardians who want to save Hotoru? And like, both of my brothers were like, kill her.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
I mean, I was definitely, so it was very, yeah, I was definitely like, kill her, I think. But like, it's such an interesting conundrum, because you're like, kill her to prevent the thing, like, either way, it's kind of like you lead to like a terrible outcome, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. what, of course, the story was like, I'm not actually gonna let that happen, right? Like, lol, it's not, the world is not gonna end. We're gonna have some more galaxy time closing off shenanigans to prevent that
yes.
horrible fate yeah. from actually happening. But like, yeah, the thought experiment that everybody was doing in that arc, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm here for this. Like, what's up?
And you know, it's kind of really interesting, because like, you know, there's so many like allusion or allegories to Christianity and metaphors to, you know, or allusions to Christianity.
Oh,
like,
my
there's
gosh,
a Messiah,
yes.
there's a Holy Grail. And particularly in the manga, the bad guys are looking for Hostia or hosts.
Yeah.
As well. So, but really, actually, at its kind of core is very more of an Asian philosophy, where there's like this yin and the yang, where mm-hmm. Sailor Moon is one half of that, and then Sailor Saturn is the other half of that. So I think that's where we kind of like really, you know, you're really resonating with that Sailor Saturn's power is, you know, death and destruction, and that makes her a hero.
Yeah, but I think, The reason that I think it's also an interesting thought experiment is that a lot of the time, like, I bring this up, I think, in other podcast episodes, too, where I'm like, I hate weathering with you, because, like, it has the thing as a movie where it's like, this girl is the sacrifice. And of course, the guy is like, no, but I love her. She can't be the sacrifice. So they're like, don't sacrifice her. Right. And then, like, terrible things happen to Tokyo, and it's just, we're supposed to be like, well, that's cool. We all get over whatever is going to happen. Like, humanity persists. And I'm like, okay, but like, my Christianity kicks in, and I'm like, no, but if you could sacrifice yourself and save millions of people, like, you should sacrifice yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
I haven't seen Weathering You yet, but now that means I need to go see it now.
You need to go see it. I mean, you know it's going to end with like, yeah, it's Makoto Shinkai. You know, like, he does the same thing each time. It's not.
Yeah.
but I'm going with you. It's like particularly grating to me.
Man.
In contrast to your name, where, you know, you had the accident happen and they had to grapple with like the actual repercussions and sadness of that and then get to have the happy ending. Like, that does not happen in Weather With You.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Versus like here, I actually think like there was a fair amount of darkness like all around, like descending further and further into weird dark shenanigans in this manga. And I was like, okay, like I'm here for it. Yeah. So like, I think, yeah, what you're saying is like that conflation of like the Christian morality play, like weird symbology, but then like actually it's a yin yang thing. And that like makes an interesting combination. And I was like, yes, I'm here for this.
And too, you know, you were talking earlier about how like everybody knows everything about Sailor Moon, but like here it's another like plot point where when I was rereading the manga recently, I realized that, you know, even it's even deeper than that, because, you know, Sailor Moon's power is kind of like positive. And they keep, you know, fighting Pharaoh 90, and you realize at a certain point you're like, oh my God, they are going to be the reason that he's going to come to their universe. Like, they're going to open the gate for him. And that's why Sailor Saturn's power is so important, because her, you know, her power is more negative. So she's really the only person who can beat him. So, and that's really not explained in the anime at all. So
really, yeah. Okay. I definitely get the sense. I don't know. I get the sense this is just like, again, my own experience and probably wrong therefore, but like I get the sense that a lot of people don't really talk about this back half. Like if they watch the anime, they're always like the original Guardians more, and I'm like, how is that possible? Like I don't understand. You get tired by episode like 120 or whatever this is at.
I think you do make a really great point. I do think like by the dream arc, at least in the anime, like I feel like they're running out of ideas with the inner guardians. So it's really too bad they didn't keep the outer guardians in the anime too much in like the later arcs. Because yeah, there's a lot there.
So much there. Oh my gosh. So yeah. So we hit peak in the middle here, which I guess isn't that shocking. So then we get this dream arc, as you said. Where I was like, okay, there's a circus. I was like, is Luffy here now? Like when the boat was in the sky initially, I was like, what? What's going on? Am I in One Piece? but I am not in One Piece, no. I don't know anything about One Piece either. All these long things, I'm just like, I don't know anything about
that. Yeah, yeah.
but so I did still like... I was pretty iffy on this arc when it started, but I feel like I'm iffy on most of the arcs when they start. I liked this arc because it did go back to the original Guardians and like spend time with them individually, which we've never really gotten, I feel, until this point. Like they all just kind of appeared one day and they're like, ha ha, we're here now. Yeah.
Well, you know, as I was thinking more about it, like, I think the dream arc is probably the closest we get to kind of like slice of life type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like
we just get to see them go to school and
exactly
be like, hey, I'm wandering around doing my homework, taking care of my plants.
Take care of your plans, having kind of existential crises about what you're going to do with your life.
Yeah, just normal high school things, you know.
Yeah. And you know, the arc with the Outer Guardians being a family, like, that's, like, one of my favorite
arcs. That's so good!
I love that one.
That chapter, I was just like, is this allowed in 1990 whatever 7? Like, Haruka's just out here being like, yeah, what's up, Papa Haruka?
Yeah.
Got my boobs hanging out like in a bralette over here being cool. I was like, okay, what's up? You got two mamas now, like, what?
Absolutely. Earlier this morning, I was reading an article about Fruits Basket, and it was about kind of, there's a lot of characters there who are queer or LGBT, and but it never really, the end game is, getting them into like cishet relationships. Whereas I feel like, in Sailor Moon, you got to give it credit where no, like at the end of the day, Uranus and Neptune are always going to be together. There is kind of a little, like, I guess, their mission right now is to raise Hotaru. So yeah, there's a little bit of like, okay, our job here is done once she's an adult. But they're always, going to be together. And they're very much written, even in the anime, the direction was, they're like an old married couple. So,
They're
there's no,
cousins.
like, in the North American one. But there is this kind of in idea that any sort of like gender experimentation or sexual experimentation is something that you do when you have the freedom of when you're young to do that, and then when you grow up you get into a cishet relationship. Whereas that's not quite, what happens here, and technically too, like to be like a guardian in the Sailor Moon universe, like you have to be unmarried. So in some ways it's kind of, it's kind of good. Maybe they don't, well, not good, but having even though like Uranus and Neptune like can't get married to each other, like it kind of works out because they will always be Sailor Guardians then.
And I mean, they definitely just like do everything that married people would do. Don't they wear rings eventually? Like they live in the same house, they raise a child, they're fine. If anything, yeah, like Fruits Basket, I feel like eventually was like, I gotta pull back on my queerness, like shove that aside, pretend that wasn't there even. Whereas Sailor Moon was like, oh, we're gonna make it gayer as it goes along. Like, this is gonna get increasingly queer. And I was like, okay, I'm here for it. Yeah, what's up? Like, tell me more. But yeah, I guess of the, I feel like the four, like focusing on the original four guardians in this arc with their own little stories just really revealed to me how weak Venus was. I was like, oh, girl, what's up? And then I was like, is this better if I had read the Sailor V manga? Like, is that important?
I mean, they're just two entirely different things. So, yeah, I don't know. Her kind of story, yeah, is probably maybe the weakest of them all, maybe. But no, I don't, yeah, they're two, like completely two separate things. So, I'm not sure if it would have really brought much. So,
I was definitely just like, she's harping on, like not being able to transform. And I was like, but none of them were able, what? So, like, do it in the beginning. And now we're in, like, I don't, we're in, like, Lord of the Flies. And I was like, I don't, what is happening? I don't want to be here. Whereas I thought everybody else's was like good, made me like them more. Like Ami feeling sad about her mom and, trying to live up to expectations and everything, and Rey and her grandpa being a weirdo with, her her crows and everything. I was like, yeah. And of course Jupiter, being also a weirdo, being like, I love plants and my parents died and I just live by myself even though I'm 15 or whatever.
And I always, when I think about this is, like Sailor Moon started when Naoko was about 25, and it kind of ended around when she was 30, and like that's kind of like the time period in your life you should be getting married. So I always kind of view a lot of this stuff as like kind of like Naoko kind of working out like, okay, like what does it mean to be someone who's independent and powerful, but also like you don't really have time to date people, or when you do date, like some dude broke up with her 'cause because he was like, you think about Sailor Moon too much.
Oh my God.
It's like, oh my gosh.
And she's so, like, well, I'm making a kajillion yen off of Sailor Moon. So yeah, I think about it a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think, I guess I would have probably been feeling the same way as she was, is trying to kind of like figure out, like, you know, living like this independent life without, you know, being married. You know, that's what she was doing at the time.
Yeah. When did she marry Hunter Hunter Man? Because I've been seeing all the things about how they actually got together. And I was like, whoa, wait a second.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they got married when she was 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
I started seeing people sharing the, I guess, autobiographical comic where she's like, this guy proposed to me weirdly and then we didn't get married for 6 months. And I was like, are you serious? And like Hunter Hunter guy was just like, oh, I mean, no, I wasn't really that serious. And I think that we should have an open relationship and like all these things. And I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah, I don't know what she got herself into.
And now, like, you can't write Hunter Hunter. And again, I'm still waiting for her to just be like, I'm going to finish Hunter Hunter. Y'all, like, let's go. It's mine now.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of really, I mean, it's really interesting. Like, when I think of other manga artists, you know, like Rumiko Takahashi, like, she just, like, pumps it out. Like, she is a machine. Like, she is endless. And Nako Takeuchi just seems like a little bit more like Sailor Moon was like my opus, and I'm just going to kind of take care of that, you know, and just,
I mean,
you know,
fair.
Yeah, fair, you know. So
yeah, we all can't be Princess Jellyfish Akiko Higashimura pumping out all this stuff all the time. Yeah, no, Takeuchi seems very fascinating, but like, I don't know. I don't like to go too far into the rabbit hole of like knowing creators' lives and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We'll pull back.
No. I just am like, it starts getting weird when it's like, oh yeah, like, oh man. Like, I feel like I know too much about Takeuchi from all these Twitter threads about how she got together with Hunter Hunter guy.
I see. Well, who's getting back to like the dream arc and the later part of it, was there a particular outer guardian that you really liked?
Oh my gosh, I feel like I love all of them. Like, I'm like, please be like, become my girl gang, like be my friend. It really, like, when Hotaru was introduced, I was like, yes, I love this emo one. She's a cyborg. Yeah. I love cyborgs. I love cyborg 009. Like, let's go. And then she's like, you know, destruction lady. I was like, yes, cool, great, love it. Pluto's fun being, you know, like the older one, like suave, mysterious, in my opinion. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Haruka is like a weirdo badass too. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a race car driver. And I just am such a badass. And gender is nothing to me. Like, forget you all. There was that line about Haruka where they were like, Haruka is neither male nor female. And I was like, is this true or is this some weird translation? Like, do people understand Haruka to be female, basically?
Well, basically, like, to be a Sailor Guardian, you need to be a female.
Right?
But I kind of feel it harkens back even like farther, like back to like Princess Knight. Like in Princess Knight, mm-hmm. like, you know, I think she's like given a male heart and a female heart. So I think that's where this, like, you know, she encompasses both genders. She's, okay. You know, yeah. But I think, you know, I think we all, like, fans really kind of understand Haruka in a very, like, gender-fluid type of way. Mm-hmm. And as a lesbian.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I was like, maybe that's the question I'm asking, is like, does our understanding of Haruka evolve over time? Like, do we get to, because for me, what it made me be like was like, okay, is Haruka a two-spirit Native American thing where you like switch between the genders? And I was like, you know what? Haruka is what you want Haruka to be.
Yeah, I guess so. I was watching a panel about Sailor Moon from the Japan Foundation, and there were several people on the panel who were Japanese and they grew up in Japan, and they actually really loved Haruka, and very specifically Haruka, because obviously Haruka is the one who's more gender fluid rather than Sailor Uranus, and they both kind of were like, oh, that's it's very much like the older classmate that you admire. And I guess in a way, like if you are, a younger teen and you're trying to really navigate masculinity and femininity, Haruka, like you were saying, like she doesn't care, like whatever,
Yeah. She super does not care. And she like enjoys not caring very much. Like she loves messing with y'all. I don't even think that's it actually. Like she doesn't like be like, haha, I've pulled one over on people. She's just like, I'm too cool for you and your binaries. Like, get with the program. I guess I do feel that Neptune is probably the weakest for me. Like even weaker than some of the more OG ones. Like I was like, I don't really get a beat on Neptune. Like, okay, she plays the violin and is like Haruka's lover. Like, I didn't feel like there was some other thing to like grasp onto, really.
I think in the manga, like they lean into a little bit more her maternal side a bit more, as opposed to into the anime. Like I think she really fascinates me, like maybe a bit more in the anime, because she to me, like she's like this juxtaposition between someone who's incredibly feminine, incredibly beautiful, who is I guess high class, but there's several points in the anime where there's she is much more cold and calculating than Haruka is. Haruka is much more of the softy. And even at one point, like they're running together, and Haruka or Sailor Uranus notes that like Neptune is slowing down, so Sailor Uranus can catch up, or they can match their pace. So I kind of just really love the this juxtaposition between like she is a badass, like she will cut a bitch.
Oh yeah. She's like, I got my phallic sword and I'll do whatever, like. Yeah, that's a good point for sure. Yeah, Neptune just, I don't know. Like, I play the violin too, so I kept being like, all right, we have a thing in common, but no, like, I don't know. But the thing about Haruka being like a softie sometimes is like, I feel like that comes through in the manga, but maybe in the like beginning of the Infinity arc more when she's like trying to, convince. Like, be like, Sailor Moon, you must stay away from us. And Sailor Moon's like, why? No, but we're all Sailor Guardians. And Haruka's like, please don't make this harder than it is. Kiss, bye. But yeah, I think this just leads into like talking about. I asked audience members who their favorite Sailor Guardians are, and then we can like definitively put them in our rank now, I guess. So I'll start with listeners. So on Twitter, at CE Edwards 0527 said Sailor Jupiter because of her duality, both in her civilian and senshi forms. By day, she's a tomboy who enjoys traditional feminine things, and by night, she's a kick-ass warrior who controls both electricity and plants. She is truly one of a kind. I do agree, yes. Sailor Jupiter is like just so strange and delightful.
Why strange?
Why strange? Like, what? I just feel like any individual part of her doesn't add up to the next thing. Like, it doesn't lead you logically to the next part of her, and I'm like, no, but I love it. Delightful. I want all the eccentric ones. Like, that's what's up. Yeah, and I don't know. I guess I was also a tomboy growing up, so I like understand this, like, I want to be able to punch, and she's like the strong one or whatever. She's like, I want to definitely be able to punch and bring down all the boys, but then I also want them to love me for it, I get that. I get those feels. So at CC Jakarta just said Sailor Mars is my favorite, and I feel, okay, again, this is just me like observing over decades, not having actually engaged in this fandom in any particular capacity. But I've always gotten the sense that Sailor Mars is like a lot of people's favorite, like perhaps the favoritest Sailor Guardian.
I would say definitely like in the North American fandom, like, yeah, Sailor Mars is one of the top ones, I would say. Yeah.
So at Singing Bunny said Sailor Moon. I know that's a basic answer, but it means so much to me that she is really just a normal girl. She's a crybaby with bad grades, but she still kicks ass and saves the world. She is not afraid to rely on help from her friends and draw power from them. That's amazing. That is amazing. I also like at the end in the chaos arc that we haven't gotten to yet, but we're gonna, where she was like, I've never fought for love and justice. I just wanted to protect my friends. And I was like, oh, we're having a crisis. Yes.
Yeah.
There's a real moment if I've ever seen one. Okay.
It was a very real moment. Yeah. Yep.
I was like, tell me how you really feel, Sailor Moon. Yes. So out at House of Saturn said, I really loved Sailor Mercury growing up as a kid. She exhibited beauty and smarts, and I was always in a bunch of honors and AP classes. Now at 27, I just sort of see myself in all of the Sailor Guardians. That is also fair. That last part in particular. Very fair. I think that Sailor Mercury is underutilized, but I do love her.
Yeah. I think in the anime, like, they do a little bit more with her as far as, like, attacks and defense and strategy. I don't feel like it's not so much in the manga.
No, in the manga, the realest moment that I recall right now, anyway, for me was when, you know, in the dream arc part of it, or I think it was there, where they were talking about like joining clubs or whatever, and she was like, I'm in the computer club, but I'm the only girl, and all these boys just want to play games, and it's silly and dumb.
Yeah.
And I was like, girl, I feel you. I know. I played ice hockey on men's teams. I feel you. I get it. Yes.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. Yeah. You're my hero. Okay.
That's why I'm like, I get it. I feel it. Yeah, for sure. So at Sailor Moon Art said, Sailor Mars, because of her feisty personality, quick wit, and fiery passion. Yes. True. I love that Sailor Mars is also like, boys, ugh, who has time for those? I just want to hang out with my crows. I'm
like, yeah. Yeah.
What's up? You're so weird and I love you. I love, again, I feel like I grew up being like, all the Sailor Guardians are whiny. Like, I don't relate to them. And now older me is like, they're so funny and weird and I love them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day, like, because, like, you know, we were talking about like slice of life anime and like kind of like high school teen dramas. And I think I've definitely gotten to the point where sometimes when I watch that stuff, like, I don't relate anymore.
Yeah.
And then when I was reading the manga, the Sailor Moon manga again, I was just like, wow, like, I don't feel as alienated from it. And so I think there is something there about, like, because it leans so much more into this superhero part, it's a little bit less, you know, it's more timeless rather than something specifically for high schoolers.
Yeah. And plus they have very adult problems, right? Like, we were like, it's nice that in the dream arc, they kind of like reset base in this high school life thing that they ostensibly have going on. But then, like, they're like raising their future children, or like the reincarnations of Sailor Saturn, right? Like, they're pretending they're already married. They're like 15, like, you know. And I think it's, you know, it's both like very fairy tale like and still kind of aspirational, but also just very, I don't know, I guess affirming. Like, if you are a younger reader, it's very affirming of, like, your feelings matter, even no matter how young you are. Like, you're passionate and everything. And then as an older reader, we're like, okay, they're not just doing, silly high school shenanigans that, like, aren't applicable to our everyday life anymore. And we're however many years, decades ago, you know, for us at this point. And so we're just like, oh, yeah, we like this fairy tale. Like, yeah, I think that's fair. So at Pumpkin Landing on Twitter says, I first loved Jupiter because my favorite color is green. Okay, I definitely was like, people gotta choose based on colors. So this is good. but rewatching as an adult, I really sympathized with the tallness thing and feeling unattractive / unwanted for various reasons. But she's not unattractive. I mean, obviously anime people are pretty, pro tags at least. But even outside of that, I believe she's gorgeous and strong and capable. She can take care of herself and defend her friends. And those are admirable qualities for anyone. You don't have to be small or conventionally beautiful to be a woman. And that means a lot to me. Again, yes, Jupiter, I feel like, is just doing so much. There's a lot crammed into that very tall frame, actually.
Yeah. And I think that, like, it's, like, such, like, when I used to live in Japan, like, even other Japanese women would say, like, if you don't fit, like, the mold, like, there's just literally nothing for you. So if you are somebody who's taller, somebody who's bigger, like, they're just like, you know, clothing is just not going to fit you. Mm. So, yeah, I think that's a lot of people can relate to that predicament.
Yeah. Definitely. Gosh, why didn't Sailor Jupiter change the world? I don't understand. So at Makoto Kino Daily says, no surprise, Mako. Which I'm super shocked, actually. No. Okay. So on Instagram at Crystal the Sailor Scout said, Sailor Pluto. She always gave it her all when it came to everything she did, protecting the door of space and time, being a mentor / friend to small lady in her time of need, raising Hotaru with Michiru and Haruka, and furthering her studies in physics. And again, yes. I love this lady who is like, I'm going to stand in this void and protect the door to space-time and just play with a small child. I'm like, yes, what a life. I respect you. An app, GabsterGirl35, said, I've always loved Neptune the most. This is the one where I'm like, I don't understand this answer, but I respect it. I think part of it is from the anime where she was the first awakened soldier. But I also have bias toward the Outer Senshi transformation song.
Okay, well, first of all, that song slaps. So That's a very good reason. the second, you know, it's really funny. Like, I think, you know, a lot of people love Sailor Venus because, like, she has this wholly other persona as Sailor V. And I guess in some respects, like, she was also the first one awakened.
Yeah.
So I think there's this mysterious quality for somebody who is the first one awakened, you know, that's really mesmerizing. Although for Neptune, like, we don't get a lot of information about that. Definitely not in the manga. It's a little bit in the anime. But I think, yeah, there's a lot there that people can really imagine and think about there.
Okay, yeah. So Neptune is fun because, like, you get to project a lot of whatever you want onto that. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay.
I guess I can respect that. But okay, so here's my ultimate ranking, I guess, from least to most favorite. But, you know, probably would change positions. Again, I feel like there's probably, like, three tiers where it's, like, don't really care, like, love, you know, like that's how I think of it more. So Sailor Venus, I'm like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. Clearly, I need to go read the Sailor V manga. Sailor Moon, I know that's super unpopular, but I said it.
Well, I mean, I think if you don't get Sailor Venus, who's very much like Sailor Moon, like, it makes
you're
sense.
Not gonna get Sailor Moon either. Yeah,
yeah,
that's fair. That makes sense. And then, yeah, Sailor Neptune, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't care for this mystery. Like, I just want some concrete facts here. Sailor Mercury, again, underutilized. Sailor Mars, I actually really like her. She's just, again, underutilized, at least in the manga. Sailor Chibi Moon actually really grew on me in this back half.
Good. Yay!
like, her friendship with Hotaru and, like, growing up real fast and protecting people, I was like, you know what? I appreciate you, Sailor Chippy Moon. But then, of course, Sailor Pluto, the weirdo Sailor Jupiter doing all the things. Sailor Uranus and Sailor Saturn are definitely my peaks here.
So tell me, Ashley, why is there this deep darkness in your heart about ending the world?
Okay. I feel like I have an illustrative, I don't want to end the world, okay? But I definitely recognize that, like, you know, it's easier if there is an opportunity where you can just burn it all down and start again. And nobody gets hurt, okay? You should do that. Because this is probably, nobody from my company listens to this, but definitely at one point, one of the biggest complaints at my company is tech debt. And I was like, I don't understand why we don't have a little subset team building this site again from scratch. And I know it will take like 2 years to redo the whole site from scratch, but like, make them do that, then delete the whole, like when they finish, delete the whole site as it exists right now and just plug it into the new one. And like, it's just that in most cases, that's untenable, right? Like, I don't know. I think about this a lot, even with something like infrastructure. Like, I'm like, yeah, everybody's like, why can't America have cool trains? And it's like, you know why we can't have cool trains? Because our trains are from the 1800s, and unfortunately, we bombed every other country during all the world wars and whatever. And so we destroyed all their infrastructure, and then they got to rebuild it in, you know, the 1950s and like later when we had better technology and newer and cooler things. And so it's just easier for them to put it on something that was already destroyed. And so I'm just like, ah, so annoying, you know?
Oh, no, I totally get what you're saying, that like sometimes like starting afresh, you know, just feels so good. A lot of like the challenges that we have in our daily life now is sometimes like a lot of like, as my boss would said recently, a lot of legacy issues.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so that's why I'm like I don't know. Probably I know less about this, but I feel like even with our legal system, I'm just like, yeah, you know what? Like, we always keep being like, we want to go back to this original constitution or something. And I'm like, we have so many other laws now. And I'm like, see, again, like, why can't we just have somebody who's like looking at this big picture again and be like, you know what, where this is starting to go wrong, let's just like keep track over here. Like, I just think that as a society, it would be good if we could figure out better ways to be like, we have to understand that everything dies. Yeah, and like we have to rebuild it again. Mm-hmm. Or you have to like really, really maintain it, because I think that's the other thing. Like, people, like with houses, it's just like, oh, you buy a house, you think like, okay, I just have a house now, it's all good. And like, no, it's just like constant maintenance.
Oh yeah
Or it'll just like become dilapidated.
I think, you know it's really funny, what was it, a few years ago, one of the Japanese castles, and I think it was at Okinawa, the Shiro Castle, the main castle in Naha, I think it was, mm-hmm. that burned down. And, you know, like the Japanese way of building is like, yes, all this stuff is built with wood, which can be very easily destroyed. But at the same time, like, they keep all of their plans. And so when it was destroyed, I was like, don't worry about it, guys, they're gonna rebuild it, they got the plans, it's fine.
Yeah.
As opposed to maybe like the Notre Dame, where people were like losing their mind with it being destroyed. And I don't know, it's just a definitely different maybe worldview sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, now I feel like our worldview has kind of shifted even more as we live in this digital age, where we're like, but we should just be preserving everything, right? Like, we want everything to just have this like stasis, or like, as we build more things, we're like, but we can't lose the old things. And I'm like, I don't know that that's realistic. Like, that's not the world we lived in until 2000 or whatever, you know? Like, that's a pretty hard, fast change. I don't know. So yeah, so I have a lot of like old school, like my husband's always like, you are such an old person. And I'm like, yes, I am an old person, it's true. Like, I am not convinced about our, like, try to protect everything future. Like, sacrifices have to be made. I don't know. It always comes back to sacrifices have to be made.
I'm just cracking up over here. I think, you know, there's like, you know, I think what I've kind of come to realize that, like, you know, I think, like, in the past, I would always think, oh, there's like one answer to something. And now I'm just kind of like leaning into this, like, you know, there's not one answer sometimes. Like, there's like a tension sometimes between, right, two options that, like, definitely have its merits for both. And
yeah, pros and cons. You know, yeah.
Pros and cons. But like, that tension's like never gonna go away. Like, that's always gonna be there.
No, yeah. At one point in this manga, I think it was in the last arc, where somebody was like, "What is the point of conflict?" And I was like, "Man, we are going places now." Like, oh man. And I think, like, yeah, because I guess that was kind of what was weird and frustrating about the manga overall, is that I'm like, yeah, so why are these people fighting? Because they want power, but, like, to what end? Like, it just never felt like there was anything, like, concrete there. Okay. And then at the end, it's like, what's conflict? And I was like, okay.
Well, it sounds like we need to start talking about the last arc, the Sailor Stars arc.
Well, did you want to give your ranking real quick?
Okay, real quick. Shoot. From weakest to strongest, I guess, like, Sailor Mercury is my least favorite. Sailor Pluto. There's also, like you were saying, like, it's hard. Like, for example, like, Sailor Saturn. Like, I do really love Sailor Saturn, but, like, I just feel like there's not a lot in there of her. So it's hard to say, like, okay, between Sailor Uranus and Sailor Neptune, Sailor Uranus and Sailor Saturn, I kind of feel like the same way about them. Maybe Sailor Saturn a little bit more. I like her a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then I guess Sailor Neptune. Okay, Sailor Jupiter. No, wait, I would put maybe Sailor Jupiter, then Sailor Neptune, Sailor Chibi Moon, Sailor Venus. Sailor Mars is number two, and then Sailor Moon is number one for me.
Okay. I love that we're the opposite, and I mean that genuinely.
Yeah, no. It's great.
The only final question is, truly, where do we put Mamoru in here?
Nowhere.
Nowhere? Wait, what are your feelings about Mamoru? Do you, like, you're like, Mamoru is useless? Like, why is he here?
No, not even that. Like, I just, like, I'm just, like, I grew up with, like, brothers and, like, a male-dominated family. So I think a lot of things that I was doing is just like, yes, I want to be around women. Yay. So yeah. I'm just, so, like, yeah, I really do love Mamoru, but, like, I'm here for the ladies. Or the NBs, you know, too.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, definitely, I'm just like, okay, we have our schmuck boy here. Like, yeah, he can be a beta male over here. I loved when he started to get, like, he started to have, you know, then it was like, he has the golden crystal thing.
Yeah.
And now he's getting, like, magical girl transformation sequences. And I was like, okay, I'm here for it.
I kind of want to know how that conversation went, because I'm just like, whenever that starts to happen in the manga, I was like, what are you doing, Naoko? Like, we don't care. Like,
no, I was definitely having a blast with it. What are you talking about?
It's like, fine.
He can have a transformation sequence too.
He could be our token male with power.
Yeah. No, I mean, it definitely was more fun when I was like, no, he can't have a crystal too. Like, I thought he was just a schmuck, like, who dresses up like a weird old person, you know? Like, come on.
Well, then it gets, okay, so that gets into the whole question of, like, so there's a Sailor Moon, there's a Sailor Mars, but, like, where's the Sailor Earth? And everybody has to point out very awkwardly that, like, Mamoru
is Sailor Earth. Yes. Earth is controlled by men because we're dumb here. Okay. So finally we're at this final arc, which I feel like I'm so lost. Please guide me.
Well, I think first of all, like I remember when I originally read it, like I felt really lost too. I think a lot of people do feel that way. I think both like in the anime and to a certain extent the manga, like the vibe is totally different than other arcs. This is an arc where like previously the villains got dispatched really quickly, and in this arc, the Guardians gets dispatch very easily,
right?
So within, yeah.
Like when Mamoru disappeared and Sailor Moon immediately forgets it too, I was like, okay, I get what we're doing here. Like Takeuchi's trying to be like, you are also like Sailor Moon, where you are like, as the reader, you know, like also wondering what just happened and did you forget that and everything. But I was like, no, this, I'm just very confused. Like,
yeah. And then I think one of the things that always confused me a lot was, like, you know, Usagi gets these cards in the mail that, like, they're just like, I don't know, Pokemon cards, not even that. Yeah. And she's just like, this is weird. And like, yeah, as a reader, you're like, yeah, that is weird.
Weird.
And of course, later you find out that Seiya was the one sending them. And I guess technically you could see it as maybe Seiya was gently trying to jog her memory, maybe? But that's not necessarily explained a lot. And well, like, the most confusion I think that people get from this arc is that at the very end, you have, spoilers, Sailor Cosmos. And I think it can get really confusing because Sailor Cosmos refers to Sailor Moon and Eternal Sailor Moon in kind of like the third person. And so you're at a moment like, you're like, wait a minute, who is this person? Who is this? But just to clarify, Sailor Cosmos is Sailor Moon, just in a very, 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 very far future. And almost, I almost kind of consider her maybe from an alternative universe, possibly, you know?
Yeah, because she came back to, like, change this past decision that she had made, or try to, like, influence it to be different, right?
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So, but, you know, she is Sailor Moon. And so I think, you know, it's a very different arc from previous arcs, and it's kind of a little jarring, and it takes some time to, you know, get into the groove. And I think by the time you get into the groove, it's over. So,
yeah. It's hard to like pinpoint exactly why it's so different from other arcs. Cause as you said, the villains still in those arcs also get dispatched really fast in the manga, at least. And there are still usually like quite a lot of them that feel overwhelming, but this time it just felt like, it was that, but like exponentially more, like so many more villains that were very quickly dispatched, and they all clearly started to have more strange character designs, right? Like clearly, I never know how to describe that feeling, but it's just like you can see that you're running out of like organic character designs, I guess, kind of.
I tell people, I'm just like, I don't know what Naoko was reading, but she clearly picked up like a Victoria's Secrets catalog or something, you know,
and was just like, what if I slap all them clothes and this weird hair on people? Yeah.
Yeah. And I also like to point out to people that, you know, if you started reading Sailor Moon when you were 13, you know, by the end of it, you would have been 18. So I think in that context, a lot of some of the character design choices make sense, at least in the manga. But when, you know, I see a lot of some of the merch for the anime, it gets super awkward seeing like a little toddler trying to be like a Sailor Starlight.
Yeah.
It's like, that's awkward.
The Sailor Starlights are definitely designed to be like, so you want these three to step on you, right? Like, that's this vibe that's going on here.
Yeah. But, like, I think what I love about the last arc is that, you know, the philosophical part of it is really fascinating, that, like, you know, Sailor Moon is presented with this decision is, like, you know, you can end all the suffering in the world. You can end evil as we know it. But that also means, like, you have to, life itself will end as well. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, another choice was, you know, she can disperse this evil, and, you know, they can all go back to living their lives, but evil still exists. So, yeah, I've always really liked that question. And, yeah, how about you?
No, yeah, definitely started to ask interesting questions. I was just like, how did I get here? Where am I? Chaos is here. I am in chaos. Yes, I see. Okay. Yeah, no, I definitely liked the like moral quandaries. It started to think about like, yeah, why is there conflict? And then I was like, why is there conflict? And again, it was like what you were saying earlier, where it's like, well, usually conflict is actually not, because I feel like people think about Sailor Moon and they're just like, it's a story of good versus evil, which is how you normally think of superhero stories. Like there's just like epitome of good and epitome of evil. But I was like, no, conflict comes from not that, right? Like conflict comes from just having different viewpoints and ideas of what a good solution is normally. And like one is not necessarily right or wrong. It's just about what you value in the trade-offs, right?
So I was yeah. Like, oh, Sailor Moon. What was it? Oh, I think when I originally read this, was something like I was questioning was, because, you know, there's this whole point made that the evil characters throughout the series are kind of like the same as Sailor Moon. They're her kind right. of like sister beings. And this is why they were always drawn to Sailor Moon. And I always thought that was a little victim blamey. I was just like, so you're just blaming Sailor Moon for everything that they did? Like, that doesn't sit well with me. But as I was thinking about it more, and during that time when I was like rereading it a few years ago, you know, there was a lot of like online harassment going on. And I was one of my favorite writers that I follow. Her name is Lindy West. And she was talking about how like these people were harassing her, like pretending that they were her dead father. And so finally she talked to one of these guys and, you know, he apologized for his behavior and they really talked about it. And, you know, one of the things he said, he's like, you know, I was really jealous that you were so happy. You know,
yeah.
you were unapologetically yourself. And so I was like, oh, wait a minute. Now I get it. Like, Usagi is just this very accepting, happy. She's like this epitome of love. And so, you know, when people are really unhappy, like they do like terrible things, you know? So I think about it like that now, that all these evil beings really wanted, you know, Usagi's happiness. Like they wanted to be happy like Usagi, but not going about it in a good way.
Yeah. And I guess that kind of goes into, they talk a lot about like what power is and isn't, right? And so I guess the villains all seem to think that like they can just, if they defeat Usagi, then they like take her happiness, right? Like they just like extract that from her with the crystal, right? And it's like Usagi seems to be like, that's not how it works. Like it's born, you make the power, like. And I was like, that's an interesting philosophy, I guess. I was like, I don't know how well that holds up in real world applications. But in this application where it's like what they're chasing is happiness, yes, it holds up.
Yeah. Or I was rereading one of my articles today. And the thing I was reading was about Hiratsuka Raicho, who was a Japanese feminist back at the turn of the century. And she like really found a lot of liberation through Zen meditation. And for her, it was like a very spiritual thing. And so I think, you know, I think we all have the ability to find, you know, like spiritual happiness or like that power is within us all to do that. But you have to, you know, work on that. You have to. You know, that's something you have to work on. It's not going to just happen.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and I mean, the story that you shared earlier, I think I remember that. I remember reading that story from a while ago, but it made me remember the more recent incident where, like, there was that lady who shared about how she every morning has like breakfast with her husband outside.
Right. Yeah.
And they like make waffles. And she's like, it's just really cute. And we're happy. And like, we had this moment. And then people were like, how dare you share your privilege, like rub your privilege in our face. And it's just like, whoa, simmer down. You know? Like y'all just can't be happy on this app. Cause yeah, it's seen as like you attacking other people somehow, and it's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. I don't control your level of happiness. Like, you gotta go find the thing that makes you happy and make that happen for sure.
Exactly.
So I think the end, the last arc also kind of begs a question about like Sailor Moon's legacy. Like, I feel like the end page was something about, you know, them going on forever, and like, is this a happy ending? Like, what is it's like Sailor Moon's whole legacy is still so beloved several decades later. And I'm just like, I know the children still know about this series and are like, have aspirations to read it and things. And I don't know. It's so, I think, you know, we were talking about shoujo today, at least in North America, is like really heavily dominated, I think, by more slice of life, high school romance things, or certainly not 10 or whatever women just like kicking ass, taking names, you know, like as a gang. I think some of the biggest ones are like Yona, Sign of Affection, like all those things. And I'm just like, well, how did we get, I don't know, in the intervening decades, like, well, how did we get from Sailor Moon is still the biggest property and is superheroes and queerness and everything, to like now where we don't have any like big hits that like unite all of us, I feel.
I'm pondering.
Okay.
what a wistful thing to think about. I mean maybe that, you know, there's, I always think about, well, like, you know, in America, like, we're so obsessed with superheroes, so it's probably a very easy thing to grasp a hold of in a way, right? In America, we understand the whole concept of having a superhero and rebooting it, like, every 10 years or 20 years.
We're like, Sailor Moon Crystal makes a lot of sense to us, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it always blows my mind, too. Like, you know, some of our OG superheroes, like, Batman, Superman, like they came out in 1939. Yeah. They came out in the 40s. Like, they've been around for so long.
They were just World War II propaganda, you know? Like,
Oh my gosh. But I think, you know, I think even a broader question too is that, because actually, it was interesting. People were talking about this online the other day about how the graphic novel section of bookstores are so small, but the manga section is so huge. And I mean, I think, you know, and when we talk about Sailor Moon's legacy, even if, like, you know, we don't necessarily will get another Sailor Moon or another, like, really huge shoujo property, like that manga section is huge for a reason. It's you know, it's not just shonen. I mean, it's shoujo too, and everything between. So maybe the legacy is a little bit like, there might not be this one, you know, huge property anymore, but there will be, you know, such a wide selection, and why, you know, I think a lot of us read manga.
Oh yeah, I mean, one of my biggest, I don't know what to call it, frustrations is like, talking about manga today is like, yeah, okay, right now we're in the period where shonen is like all the cool stuff, like shoujo is barely a blip on a lot of people's radars, but I'm like, I always get frustrated because I'm like, I want you to understand that what made this happen is definitely like the Sailor Moons and the Fruits Baskets and the Orons that happened in the 90s and the 2000s. Like, those were the biggest things for a long, long time before, like, the Bleaches and the Narutos and everything came in and, like, took over, right? And I'm like, so your foundation is shoujo that made everybody believe in manga, like, especially Fruits Basket. Like, that, like, kicked open a lot of doors. And like Sailor Moon was a lot of people's like one of their first like serious anime. So I'm like, I want people to understand that. But I feel like, you know, most manga anime fans are younger. So it's like there's not this like understanding anymore. And I'm like, ah.
I do know, was it that I guess digital manga, and I don't know what the state is now, but like that's one of the reasons why we got Princess Jellyfish, was that they put it out in digital first and it did really well, and that allowed them to bring it out in print. And I think, like, maybe not for me, but maybe for younger people who are reading manga digitally, that, you know, there's girls around the United States or around the world that they feel like, you know, they don't have to have a local bookstore or a library or have to go into like a creepy comic book store. they can just, you know, download it on their Kindle or their e-reader. So that kind of, the success of Princess Jellyfish really warmed my heart.
Yeah.
That, you know, like, there is manga still accessible to particularly girls around the world.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. One of the reasons, I mean, it's, again, it's overlapped with, like, our work in more traditional publishing, and know that romance, probably, like, the romance genre and its success probably, again, funds a lot of other publishing sectors, but gets a lot of disrespect because it's romance. And so I'm just like, yeah, but one of the things that also helped romance get so big was definitely, as you said, like digital versions. Like people, you know, in 2012 could be reading 50 Shades of Grey covertly on their Kindles or whatever, on the trains and stuff. So yeah, so it's like, it's just frustrating to me that like a lot of that, all like we women lay the foundation that people then don't see because it just gets piled on with like other things.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I understand your frustration. I think, yeah, I could go on and on about this.
I also like Sailor Moon is very interesting because I was like, okay, we just brought the whole like universe into this thing where it's like, you know, the universe depends on Sailor Moon's feelings, you know. Like it's so vast and expansive and everything. And I actually think that Sailor Moon probably just came out at like this perfect time where we were getting all these new technologies, right? Like the early 90s, it's like, oh, we're starting to have the internet, we're all starting to have our own personal computers, like everything's dope. Takeuchi has a background in like chemistry or physics or whatever, some big old science degree. So like things must have been so cool back then. And now I'm like, we just don't live in that world, right? Like we live in the world where tech has actually made us so much more insular. Like even as we just said, like it's like we get to read our books privately, so nobody knows what we're
or just, I think a lot about social media, about how that tension of just like social media has enabled us to connect so much more, but at the same time, it can be so much more isolating too. So yeah, there's that tension again.
yeah. I'm just like, do you think we'll be talking about Sailor Moon in 2100 in the 30th century?
You know, I think so. I think one of the things why it's very attractive, like, you know, yeah, it's about superheroes, but it seems like, you know, even like 2000 years ago or 3000 years ago, you know, Greek mythology, you know, all these gods that these guardians are based on, or they, maybe they're not based on, but they evoke those gods again. I mean, we're still learning about, you know, Greek mythology like 3000 years later. So, you know, we could still be reading Sailor Moon in the year 3000.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love it. Okay. I'm debating if I want to get into this, like the legacy of magical girls things, particularly with, I feel in the past, I saw a lot of people be like, Madoka Magica is like so, you know, so dark, so gritty, so much smarter than Sailor Moon and stuff. And I'm like, did you read to the end of this manga? What?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think even, you know, part of the reason maybe we don't have necessarily like a new Sailor Moon right now is because the successor of Sailor Moon was Pretty Cure. And I don't know how they happened upon it, but they realized that the way that they could keep the Pretty Cure train going was to like reboot it every other year with new characters. So I know people who are into Pretty Cure, but that has been going on for, I think, about like 20 years at this point. So, you know, and of course, Pretty Cure, generally speaking, is more for younger kids. And I don't know, Madoka, there did seem like a lot of anime out there that was trying to be all dark and gritty, but also missing the point of female empowerment. And it just, the only thing that kind of upsetting to me is that you had this opportunity to be super creative, and they are, but there is like this, to me, like this deep misogynistic viewpoint. What's the name of the anime? I'm totally blanking right now. But in that particular anime, like the girls, they, you know, as they become more powerful, they lose a part of themselves, and it's really, I found it very like violent towards female bodies.
Yeah.
And even maybe even I'm also thinking about Land of the Lustrious, an anime that I love, but also can be deeply upsetting as well, too. So I don't know. Hopefully Magical Girls can do something different. We've gone through that dark era or, you know, the dark magical girl era.
The dark magical gritty girl era. Yeah.
hopefully something will come up.
Yeah, I just feel like, I guess I'm like, Sailor Moon obviously has one of those things that I guess lots of shoujo today are missing, where it's like, it was a cross-gender hit, right? Like, men are also like, yeah, Sailor Moon, dope, right? Like, and I just feel like in the wake of Sailor Moon's success, Magical Girls became more and more like male focus. Like, I feel like the one person I know who likes Pretty Cure is a guy, and yeah, like Madoka Magica, like I feel like all the guys were like, yes, see, magical girls, they can be smart or whatever, and I was like, okay, leave me alone. And you know, again, it's like this frustration of like, okay, so you took magical girls and you made it worse. And you took isekai and you made it worse. Like, y'all gotta stop doing that, you know? Like, and then not only did you make it worse, but you like discredit the history of how it came from Chojo. And like, I don't, I'm tired. It's basically the conclusion of that. Before we get to shipping corner, I have to ask the most serious question of all, which is, what is the best attack name?
You mean Star Gentle Uterus?
What the heck? When that one happened? No, each time a new attack name is introduced, I'm just like, this is much more delightful than the last. Like, how far into silliness can we go? And then that one happened, and I was like, I feel like we crossed the line now. I don't know what's happening anymore.
I mean, you have to give... there's a moment where I give Naoko credit where, you know, generally speaking, like throughout history, like men really love to draw penises on everything. And I'm like, yeah, you go, girl. You make an attack name out of a uterus.
You make it happen.
Yeah. But, you know, it's actually interesting. Some people were kind of pointing out that the Sailor Starlights, they're kind of based on Hindu mythology. So in Hindu mythology, you have the creator, the preserver, and the fighter.
Yeah.
So these three gods. And so that corresponds to Sailor Star Fighter, Sailor Star Healer, Sailor Star Maker. So when we were talking about creation, obviously for human beings, that happens in the uterus. And so, yeah, I'm just like, go for it, girl. Why not?
Okay, I like this perspective. That's good. Yeah. I also really like the honeymoon therapy kiss one. Mm-hmm. I feel like I understand what that one is. Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm down for it. I don't understand Jupiter's like coconut one or whatever. I'm like, what's going on here? Coconut cyclone.
yeah. I mean, I don't, yeah, coconuts. But of course, like, I know we traditionally think of Jupiter as she has all these lightning attacks. However, and I guess that's maybe a very Western way to approach, you know, Jupiter. But, you know, in Japanese, Jupiter is called Mokusei, which is actually means wood star. So when you see all these plant-based attacks, that's kind of where it ties in.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm just like, what did Takeuchi do to make these attack names? So, like... She's like, what random words can I slap together?
I must think, like, you know, a lot of creators must have like a binder of like attack names or monster names, or like just binders full of Yoma monster of the day, like.
Ooh,
that's what
I
imagine.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so shipping corner. We got to do a real shipping corner because there are ships here. Aside from the weird, creepy, you know, circus one. So first of all, wait a second. There was that one chapter where Venus and Mars were like hella flirty, and I was like, I ship it very hard.
yeah. I think like if we're talking about ships like that, well, ships that are not necessarily canon but sort of, Venus and Mars is probably my favorite. Yeah, the last scene in that they have in Stars is like super iconic, where they're just like, we really don't need men. Does that make us bad Sailor Guardians? And you know, Sailor Star Healer is like, no. So I'm really excited to see that scene in the upcoming Sailor Cosmos movies.
Ooh, yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. What were they talking about in this? They were like talking about how the starlight people coming or whatever. And then, you know, it's supposed to be, it was a scene where it was like, it's set up to be like, look at this mismatch in their personalities, actually. Cause Venus is all like, I just want to date boys and have a cute boy.
Yeah.
And Mars was like, eh, boys, whatever. And then as soon as like a threat from, the starlights comes, they're like, you know, doing the thing where it's like they're holding hands and holding a finger to their lips, and then when the starlights are actually there, they're like, we don't need men, what's up, like hugging each other. I was like, yo, we just kiss already, like. Then again, like, this one is not necessarily canon but implied, was Chibi Moon and Helios. They were cute. I liked them.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, talking about the dream arc, I think one of the hard things I have with that is that, you know, Helios, he's such like a, he's a horse half the time. So, like,
yes.
I think it's, for me anyway, it's a hard one to get into because he's a horse half the time. So I don't know if, like, you know, their relationship is as maybe relatable or relatable as maybe Venus and Mars. So I think that's maybe one of the reasons why I don't connect as much to the dream arc.
Yeah. I mean, but it was cute. I was like, oh, I love Chibi Moon finding another little lost soul and being like, oh, he's a cute little boy. Let's smooch, you know?
Well, it's definitely an improvement over smooching her father. So I'm all about that.
Like, I was definitely like, oh, finally, somebody to distract you from the fact that you, like, romantically love your father, like, stop. Like, it's weird and creepy.
And I do think there is like a scene either in the dream arc or even, you know, in the Infinity arc where like Chibiu is like, I gotta go, bye, and like Mamoru is like, you don't want to hang out with me, what, where are you going?
Where are you going? I'm very confused. I thought you were in love with me.
Who's more important than me?
Nobody is more important than me, Mamoru. In this manga, gosh. Okay. Obviously, Neptune and Uranus. Mm-hmm. Powerful lesbians approve.
Space lesbians. Yeah, like, iconic, eternal. No notes there.
No notes. No improvements to be made. Just great. Love it. So, I mean, you just said Chibi Moon and Helios aren't relatable, but like, are Sailor Moon and Tuxedo Mask relatable? Like, do you dig it?
Oh, definitely. I dig them more than Usagi and Seiya. And there's like a very strong contingent of people Ooh. Who absolutely love Usagi and Seiya. Really? And I don't, you know, and it's not really, I would have to say it's not really strongly there in the manga. It's more there in the anime. And, you know, when I was rewatching the anime recently, I definitely see everybody's point. Like, you don't really get to see, at least in the, I don't know. There's different ways to look at it. They just have this everyday cute relationship in the anime and Sailor Stars. And I think, you know, people really kind of miss that in the anime. Like in the anime, Usagi and Mamoru are a little bit more antagonistic towards each other. Although some people have said, and I agree, that like they're much more romantic towards each other in the manga, which I do really love.
Yeah, definitely from what I've seen of the anime, I was like, I didn't expect Mamoru and Usagi to be like cute. Like, I thought they were always going to be this like, oh, we're fated for each other kind of thing. But, you know, the mismatch in their personality seemingly in the beginning, like held throughout. And then that is not at all what happens, at least in the manga. Yeah. I was like, okay. And the Seiya thing, I'm like, okay, if I was going to rank possible suitors for Usagi, it's like, well, I feel like her and Uranus had like way more chemistry than with Seiya. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like that really confused Usagi for a solid like volume.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas at least in the manga with Seiya, it's like, okay, yeah, like Seiya is clearly into her and trying to distract her from losing Mamoru, and it's not working.
Yeah. I kind of love how when people are just like, yeah, Usagi loves all her friends. She's in a polyamorous relationship with all of her friends.
She is. Oh my gosh. She definitely would, like, if anybody smooches her, she'd just be like, oh my God, yeah, you into me? Like, let's do it. Like, oh my goodness. I mean, is there anyone who you like really wish was a real ship, or that like you is a headcanon for you or whatever?
I do. Okay. This is a little toxic, but like, hear me out.
Okay.
I mean, I would probably be game for some sort of like alternative universe of Usagi and Prince Demand or Prince Diamond in the second arc. The villain who's obsessed with Neo Queen Serenity. I feel like he's a very deeply hurt and misunderstood person, and I just want the best for him. And maybe in another life or universe, him and Usagi could get together.
Yeah, they could figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I love the like clearly very bad relationship, but very interesting, weird power dynamic thing relationships in manga. I don't know. For me, like, yeah, nobody knows Twin Star Exorcist, but there's one in there like that where I'm like, huh, interesting. I love it. I love to see it.
Yeah, yeah. I think one thing that, you know, Sailor Moon doesn't have, like, that maybe Fritz Basket has, you know, it's not exactly a harem manga or harem anime. So there's really, I mean, there, like, Tuxedo Mask gets kidnapped, but like there's never really necessarily like really good threats to their relationship. So think, you know, Prince Diamond, you know, if this wasn't a high school setting, really, like, deeply, like, all characters were high schoolers, I think he would amount a very good threat to Mamoru.
Yeah, he would be in a good, solid love triangle, like,
yeah, yeah.
Love triangle shoujo. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think we did it. Is that Sailor Moon? Do you have any final thoughts?
Well, I was, you had mentioned about, you had, had done a chat GPT of like explaining Sailor Moon, and I'm so there for it.
Yeah, so I spent perhaps way too much time trying to get like think of funny things to say to get ChatGPT to say anything funny about Sailor Moon. And I was like, you know what? Fine. I'm just going to go with this basic prompt. So I got ChatGPT to give me a word about Sailor Moon. So I told it to explain Sailor Moon as if you were a very excessive fangirl of the series. You're overly excited and think you know everything about the series. And here's what ChatGPT gave me. This is my favorite use of ChatGPT, by the way, is to just give it like very silly prompts and then give it to somebody just to make them laugh. Like, there's no other good use case for ChatGPT. So ChatGPT said, OMG, Sailor Moon is like the best anime manga ever. I mean, have you seen Usagi? She's so cute and bubbly, and she totally reminds me of myself. And don't even get me started on the other Sailor Scouts. I can tell that it's erased on the dub, I guess. Okay, yeah. Interjecting there. But they're all so amazing and unique, and I love them all. The storyline is so epic, with Usagi discovering that she's actually a superhero and teaming up with the other scouts to fight evil and protect the world. And the romance between Usagi and Mamoru, aka Tuxedo Mask, is just swoon-worthy. I mean, they're like meant to be together. The animation is so beautiful too, with all those sparkles and magical transformations and epic battle scenes. And the music is just perfect. I know all the lyrics to the theme songs and I listen to the soundtrack all the time. And let's not forget about the awesome merchandise. I have like a million Sailor Moon plushies, posters, and keychains, and I wear my Sailor Moon t-shirt like every day. And don't even get me started on the cosplay. I've dressed up as Sailor Moon for like every convention I've ever been to. Overall, Sailor Moon is just the best thing ever. And I will never get tired of it. It's like my entire life. And I'm so grateful for it.
I like died laughing when I read this. Like, that is like, I was like, did I write this? Like, did I write
this? When you're fangirling, do you end overall?
Well, I guess this is a little dated. They're using like a little bit too much.
I was like, yeah, what is this like 1990s Valley Girl thing going on?
Yeah, but you know, I think I have dressed up as Sailor Moon for like every convention I've been to. So you got me there.
So ChatGPT isn't wrong. It knows what it's talking about. Oh my gosh! Yes, I'm trying to embrace the how do I make the robots my underlings still and not my overlords. So I make them tell me funny things about Sailor Moon. But you know, ChatGPT is scum, as Galaxia would say or whatever.
Yeah.
Scum. Okay. I feel like I'm going to try now in every podcast probably to make some funny ChatGPT thing, but we'll see. This is my first foray. Everybody can tell me how they liked it. Okay. So thanks for listening to Shoujo and Jell. Comments, questions, constructive criticism, concerns, need to gush about your favorite aspect of Sailor Moon, of which I'm sure there are many, email shoujoandchell@gmail.com or leave a comment on the episode's YouTube page. We're at shoujoandchell on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram, so long as any of those platforms continues to exist in the hellscape that is the present. And where can people find you and your work on the internet?
You can find me at shoujopower on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And to read more about the ins and outs of Sailor Moon anime and manga, you can visit my website, shoujopower.com.
Yeah, just like go read all of Anne's essays. Gosh. It's like a tighter version of everything we've already we said, and probably then some. So are you excited every time you see a new episode from us? If so, please consider leaving a rating on Apple Podcasts. This will help the show reach more hearts, or at least ears. Or, you know, like, tweet about how much you love me or something. thanks again for listening. We'll be back next time for maybe the Sailor V manga, or maybe the first half of Sacrificial Princess and the King of Beasts, because that anime is coming out and I want to be hashtag relevant or something for once. I don't know. whatever it ends up being, stay tuned. Until then, bye.
Jenny.
Jenny.